comedian Trevor Moore. He's a founding member of the sketch comedy troupe, The Whitest Kids You Know. After killing it at the Aspen Comedy Festival, The Whitest Kids launched their own TV show. The show had many viral hits, but none more so than Trevor's It's Illegal to Say sketch that became the centerpiece of a significant Supreme Court case. Now Trevor hosts The Trevor Moore Show on Comedy Central. It has the vibe of a late-night talk show and an ambitious mission statement, solving all the world's problems. Trevor joined us from his home in Los Angeles, where he talks about who his late-night talk show inspiration is.
Well, when I was a kid, I loved David Letterman. Like, the old... Because I used to... When I was a kid, he was still on NBC, and I would, like, set the VCR to record him because I wasn't allowed to stay up and watch it, but I'd watch it when I got home from school the next day. So I've always been obsessed with the late night format. I actually worked on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno for 5 years. I was like a correspondent for them. So like I had two different bits and every month I would go out and do like twice a month I would go out and do like a man on the street kind of routine for them.
What's your name?
Nolan.
Nolan.
Easton.
Easton, nice to meet you.
Nice.
Trevor.
Nice to meet you, Trevor.
Do you guys work out at all?
We do.
A lot of people, the complaint they have about working out is that it can be kind of lonely. If you go to the gym, a lot of times it's hard to find equipment that's next to each other. We've invented something so that while you're working out and building your body, you're also building your friendship as well. Okay, this is the Buddy Glide. And how it works is when one person pushes, the other person pulls. You want to go all the way down so you really feel that burn. That's great.
I grew up watching, you know, all those things, and I loved it. So it's kind of fun to do it. Although I guess everyone has a show now. It's sort of
yeah, exactly. Just like everyone has a podcast.
Yeah, talk shows are like tattoos, where it used to be like kind of like whoa, like, but now it's like it's weirder if you don't have a talk show.
Exactly. It reminds me. There's that famous New Yorker cartoon. I think it's by Joe Dader. A guy and this woman are sitting in a coffee shop, and the guy says to the woman, "I'm thinking of stopping a podcast." That pretty much sums it up.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Blair Saki and Sam Brown played the Ed McMahon, Andy Richter type roles for you on the show. We know you worked with Sam on The Whitest Kids You Know, but can you tell us a bit about your relationship with Blair?
So Blair is just a hilarious comedian who I had never met until she came on the 24-hour show. Every hour in the show, we would do a different thing. And we were talking about the singularity and like AI and whether or not, you know, AI will like, you know, overtake mankind in the year 2045, which is what like Ray Kurzweil has predicted. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a very like kind of heady science-y hour. You know, we had all these like computer guys on and stuff like that. And Blair was on and she just like, she made the whole hour hilarious because she just didn't care about the computers. She just kind of cut through it all and was just making jokes the whole time.
And it is learning that in being part of that society, you get rewarded for good behavior.
Okay.
And who doesn't want to be rewarded?
Blair, what do you think?
I'm just glad that it's going to be 27 years from now where I'm going to be old and that I get to be young and hot now. And so that when I am brutally murdered by your robots, it won't matter as much. You know what I mean?
It just kind of worked so well that when they asked me to do this thing regularly, I was like, well, what about having Blair as the co-host? Because she's hilarious.
Yeah. In the first episodes of season 2 of The Trevor Moore Show, you explored the question, is this joke offensive? How does looking at this question help solve all or maybe just some of the world's problems?
You know, there's a big thing right now where I guess it's sort of like a mini culture war where people are like, you know, oh, people are too sensitive right now. And then the other people are like, no, they're not. You just, you know, aren't adapting. And then there's an argument over, you know, the whole cancel culture thing. Is it real? Is it not? There's a big, like, you know, it seems to be there's every week there's a new article written about it. Yeah, I can kind of come away from that thinking that comedy doesn't age well at all. It never has. So things change and there's no use complaining about, you know, every generation is going to kind of retool media to what suits them. So if you want to stay doing, you know, the jokes that were popular, you know, 20 years ago, you're probably going to be fine, you know, but you'll probably just, you'll only be playing to that crowd, the crowd mm-hmm. that was young back then. You're probably not going to get a lot of young people now to be interested in your stuff. I grew up, my parents were Christian rock singers, so I like grew up in a very conservative household. I wasn't allowed to watch many TV shows or movies. Like I couldn't watch like He-Man because it had magic in it. I couldn't watch Smurfs because it had magic in it. And so there's a lot of stuff from my childhood that people are nostalgic for now that I've never seen. Mm. Like I saw Ghostbusters for the first time when I was like 35.
Wow.
And I didn't really care for it. And it's because I didn't have the nostalgia for it. So I'm seeing it now. And the jokes, the process is slow. The jokes don't really seem that funny. And it's because things don't age. You know, like stuff from a long time ago, you know, seems slow paced and stuff like that. And there's also tonal jokes that, you know, that don't really adapt. So mm-hmm. so I guess a long way of saying is I don't think it's a problem. But I also don't think the people who made those jokes that are offensive now are monsters for having made them 20 years ago.
You also talked to a couple of comedians about how it's natural that offensive jokes often pop up after a tragedy. Why do you think we need bad jokes in times of trouble?
I mean, I think that's just a human release. You know, I think gallows humor is very important.
Mark, what do you think about crossing the line? Is there a line?
I mean, taking a risk of a joke bombing is kind of like the whole point. But like, I think Blair's right. As long as you don't write it down, like people, when you tweet a joke, people treat it like it's an iTunes service agreement. They have to like click agree. Or
right.
You have to absolutely agree with the premise of a joke, which is not the point of a joke at all. But yeah, I mean, I love dark humor. I still remember where I was a week after Columbine, the Onion headline, Columbine jocks safely resume bullying. It just still makes me laugh.
And I think the thing that's interesting to me about that is how when the Challenger happened, I was 6. And within like a week or two, like kids on the school ground are making jokes about it. And then when you talk to other kids that are around the same age, they're like, oh yeah, this joke. They all heard the same jokes, which is interesting to me because this is pre-internet. It's not like Johnny Carson was saying Challenger jokes. It's not like you could do those jokes on like the radio or like, you know, television. So it's just almost like a pre-internet global network of schoolyard playgrounds where like kids, you know, because kids tell everything that they think is funny to their friends and it just spreads like that. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like how do you process all the horror and randomness of life and these accidents that can happen to anyone and are tragic that could happen to you, but they mm-hmm. didn't. And so that's all you can do is like joke around with people still around like, well, we're still here. They missed us, you know, let's make light of it, you know.
Yeah, there but for the grace of God go I. I want to revisit this, follow up on this, what you told us about your childhood a couple of minutes ago about your parents being Christian rock singers and denying you access to a lot of popular culture. As you mentioned, you didn't see Ghostbusters till you were 35. Do you think, mm-hmm. how do you think like being denied access to this popular culture affected you as a comedian? Was it a good thing to be denied to this? Do you think it made you more original, or do you think it missing out on that kind of compromised your ability to be funny?
So there's definitely reference points that I wouldn't make, mm-hmm. you know, like I to this day, I've never seen Goonies. So who knows how many Goonie references I've missed. I know it's a big thing. You know, I know there's a pirate ship involved at some point. Like that's all I got. I don't know. I try not to be too pop culture based in comedy. And maybe that's a defensive mechanism. I don't know. I definitely think that, you know, because everything was very conservative and had to be very clean, you know, that pushes you in the other direction. Like The Whitest Kids You Know was, you know, constantly getting flack for being a very dirty, very kind of blue sketch show. And I think that's just kind of natural teenage rebellion where you're like, well, I'm not allowed to do this. Now I'm not at home. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go crazy with it. But even in that show, we always tried to stay away from the pop culture references because, you know, we do a couple, but we never wanted it to be like a Saturday Night Live where it's like, you know, like if you watch a Saturday Night Live, a random episode of that from 10 years ago, you know, so many of these things are about like something that Beyonce said that week. And you're like, what? I like kind of remember that. Like, you know, kind of. So we try to keep it away from being too, hey, did you hear this? Did you hear this? You know,
It gives your comedy a longer shelf life.
Yeah.
One of these sketches is called It's Illegal to Say. Can you tell us a bit about this one?
So that's one, I'm parsing my words here because I don't know. You know, they actually, there was a Supreme Court case fought over that sketch.
Hi, I'm Trevor Moore. Did you know that it's illegal to say I want to kill the President of the United States of America? It's illegal. It's a federal offense. It's one of the only sentences that you're not allowed to say. Now, it was okay for me to say it right then because I was just telling you that it's illegal to say I really, really think someone out there should kill the President of the United States of America. That's illegal. Extremely illegal. Very, very illegal. But not illegal to say with a mortar launcher. Because that's its own sentence. It's an incomplete sentence, but it may have nothing to do with the sentence.
So it was that. It's this kind of wordplay bit that I'd written. And, you know, the network was nervous about it, so I called the ACLU. And I was like, hey, am I going to get in trouble for this? Is this fine? Can I do this bit? And they're like, we can't advise on that kind of thing. They're like, we're not allowed to, you know, tell you whether or not something is a crime. And but then they did say, but we would, if you did get in trouble, we would defend you. And I was like, well, okay, cool. That's enough for me. I guess I'll put it out there. And then, so it was a fairly popular sketch from our first season, like among the sketches. And but then a guy used the whole text of it word for word, but replaced the President of the United States with the name of his ex-wife that he was feuding with. Hmm. And he put it on his Facebook. So then he was arrested. And then he said, his defense was, no, it was satire. I was just doing what the whitest kids did. And so they went back and forth, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
When writing in social media like Facebook, what is defined as a threat and what is protected by free speech? That was the question at the center of a case before the Supreme Court today. Jeffrey Brown has the story and a warning. This case contains some graphic language.
The thing that makes me laugh is that all the Supreme Court justices had to sit and watch our dumb sketch show. everyone had to watch that, like sitting, in their robes or whatever. And they ended up ruling that it was satire and it was comedy, and you could not, the guy couldn't get in trouble for that. So I don't know if it's a good outcome or a bad outcome, but that's what happened.
Yeah, that must have been pretty surreal while it was happening, eh?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was kind of like, well, I guess we're not going to get a bigger sketch than that, you know, something that goes into national records.
Yeah. Another sketch that unfortunately is very timely these days is Be a Cop. Can you tell us a bit about this sketch?
That was a sketch where it was a recruitment for the police department. And all it was every time the police were doing anything, they were just firing their guns.
Are you tired of the same old boring day job? Then why not run away from it all and join the police force? The exciting world of law enforcement offers competitive pay and huge potential for career advancement. And there's much more to the force than ever before. Pursue such diverse fields as surveillance, traffic control.
It's weird that they're like, that's timely. It's like, but it isn't, because that was that joke made sense 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Like, but doesn't it seem to you that it makes more sense now even?
I mean, it does in the weird way that this is still happening. But I mean, like, you know, there is controversial. I mean, there was that guy in New York that got shot 17 times. Mm-hmm. Our commentary was on that stuff back then. It's just that it's still happening now. And you know, it seems that people have hit a tipping point on it, though. It seems like people are kind of like, okay, we got to do something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Besides solving all the world's problems, what is next for you?
So there's a Whitest Kids You Know movie that'll come out next year.
Ooh.
It's an animated film.
Why animated?
Because we wrote this movie that we love. It's like our favorite thing we've ever written. But then when we, you know, we don't do a lot of self-checking, like when we're writing. We're like, what's the funniest thing? What's this? And then we look back at this thing. We're like, this is a $250 million movie. Like, this is, there's so much crazy stuff in this. Like, and then, so then we started being like, all right, well, we could pull this back. And we're like, or we could animate it, and then we don't have to pull anything back. We can do it. We can do all of this stuff.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. And I imagine it's going to have a storyline, right? A plot?
Yes, it does. Yes. It's about a couple of billionaires race to put a city on Mars.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, that's the kind of line that we like to hit, where it's like, all right, you know, we're not talking about Elon Musk, we're not talking about Branson or Bezos or any of these guys. Like, we're not going to get into, but we're going to talk about this. What's happening in society right now is like we're all these rich guys are about to start colonizing the moon because. Mm-hmm. We think that's still going to be an issue 20 years from now. Yeah. So, like, it's not gonna age itself out quickly.
Mm-hmm. Trevor Moore, thank you very much for the great conversation. I really enjoyed talking to you.
You too.
Trevor Moore is a comedian, the host of The Trevor Moore Show on Comedy Central, and a founding member of the Whitest Kids You Know sketch comedy troupe. You can find out more about Trevor and his work at wpr.org/beta.
I was like watching TV at the time, and I saw these parents on TV who were super loving and kind and jokey with their kids. I didn't have that kind of relationship with my parents.
Coming up, Brian Broom talks about growing up in Ohio and his struggles with blackness, masculinity, and sexuality. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.